Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, Ireland, alongside all EU governments except Sweden, missed a deadline this week to submit climate plans on how to make the green transition more affordable and protect those at risk of energy poverty. The plans grant access to the EU's Social Climate Fund, which is designed to protect vulnerable households and smaller businesses from planned EU increases to carbon taxes from 2027. But with nearly every country missing the deadline, could access to this vital fund face delays now, and just how much of a priority is a just transition? Well, I'm joined on the line by Fianna Fáil MEP Billy Kelleher and from our Rock the Studio by Sinn Féin MEP Lynn Boylan. And Lynn, I'll come to you first. Why, can you explain to us why access to the fund, firstly, is so important?
Well, the access is critical because I think one of the things with climate action is that you often hear people saying that it's all about punishing or taking things away and people don't feel like there's a just transition. So the Social Climate Fund is designed absolutely to counteract that and to put in place, I suppose, the structural alternative so that people can actually transition in a fair way. So it's key for getting public buy-in to the just transition and not having a backlash, which, you know, the European Commission at the moment is starting to roll back on environmental issues because they say they're not popular. How you make them popular is that you fund the alternatives for people or you cushion the negative impacts. So it's really disappointing that the government have missed the deadline to put forward their plan, but it's indicative of their track record on a just transition, which has been really bad.
But everyone else apart from Sweden has missed the deadline too.
They have, but I mean, I would point to the fact that this is their 2 years to develop the social climate plan and Ireland misses its deadlines on climate issues on a regular basis. But for me, what's more disappointing is that they have yet to roll out the consultation on their social climate plan, because it's the consultation process that is critical. It can't be a box ticking exercise. It can't be that they put a draft plan out and ask people for feedback on it. The whole point and what's written into the legislation on this is that you go out and you have meaningful engagement with communities. And what one community will tell you is a problem in rural Ireland, it'll, of course, transport will be a huge issue. It might not be the same in Dublin, where, you know, retrofitting people living in poorly maintained council flats in the inner city, it's a different issue. So you need to have that really meaningful consultation process, and we are yet to see the government put out that consultation.
All right, well, let's see what Billy Keller has to say about this. So we've no consultation, we've no application, we have a deadline, and we might get no money from this fund as a result.
Well, I mean, the money will be drawn down from 2026 onwards to 2032. So that's the time frame for drawing down funding. A consultation process will commence. There will be broad stakeholder engagement.
When will that happen?
That will be happening from now until the end of the year. And primarily, look, this was flagged in advance of the deadline of the 30th of June. Most countries had informed the Commission. The Commission actually issued a statement saying that there would be no sanction, there'd be no infringements, or there would be no punishment for countries that didn't submit the plan on the deadline of June the 30th.
But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing it. I mean, on the consultation, the Minister, Dara O'Brien, Billy, on the consultation, which you said is going to happen, he said in April that it's going to happen shortly, but we've heard nothing about it since.
Yes, but even in the event of the plan being submitted now, funding won't be drawn down until next year. So, I mean, if the plan
was
submitted...
So there's no rush on it?
Well, if you submit your plan now, you still won't be getting the funding until next year. So if you submit your plan at the end of the year, it will still be 2026. So it won't delay the application to the fund itself, because the fund is being drawn down 2026 onwards. And this is primarily to address the issues, as Lynn highlighted, with regard to vulnerable groups, to vulnerable areas in terms of small businesses, households themselves, and individual communities that may find the cost of transitioning excessive or not being able to fund it.
Exactly why it's so important to get this right. So
yes, to get it right is important as well.
What is the timeline on the consultation?
Well, the two things that will happen. Firstly, there'll be broad stakeholder engagement with civic society, with unions, with right across the entirety of what we would call civic society. And then there will be a public consultation period as well based on that.
And when is that happening?
That will all happen in October, November, within the plan being submitted to the Commission. But it will also be done in consultation with the Commission, because there is very strong guidelines around who you should consult with, who you discuss with, technical support from the Commission as well. So, look, we all love to see these things happen as envisaged, but it will not forfeit any funding available to any vulnerable groupings due to the fact that the deadline was not met.
We're not going to lose out on anything here, and we're starting our consultation, according to Billy Kelleher, in October.
But I mean, the issue is that, like, we've been calling for the framework for the consultation process so that it is meaningful consultation. Because again, if you look at the track record of, I suppose, the previous government, which Billy Party was a member of, like our energy poverty action plan, the public consultation on that was widely criticised by NGOs and stakeholders. The National Energy and Climate Plan that was submitted to the Commission, was the Commission criticised it and said it was inadequate and told them to go back and do it again. If you look at the Just Transition pilot scheme that was for the Borna Mona workers in the Midlands, ICTU analysis of that found that only 4 of the 44 projects could be said to deliver direct and immediate benefits to the workforce. So we don't have a good track record on this. And it does seem like now it's going to be a box-ticking exercise. The government will do their plan. They'll then put it out for consultation, but they're not going to actually significantly change that plan on the back of what they hear from consultation.
But they have to do that.
What is absolutely critical is that the Social Climate Fund provides additionality, that it puts in place the structural changes for people to transition. It can't be used by the government to just say, we're now going to use this fund to do the retrofitting that we were going to be funding from another source. So it has to be additionality, and it has to be looking at the long term. So it's about charging points. Yeah. It's about renovating poor housing stock. It's about providing incentives for people to transition over to multimodal forms of transport.
What evidence do you have that that is going to happen, Lynn? I mean, you're outlining the sort of worst case scenario there when it comes to how the funds might be used. What are you basing that on?
Well, what I'm saying is that the track record of the government is what I'm basing it on. We have a situation where they've a very poor track record on public consultation. So we also know that the Energy Poverty Action Plan the Energy Poverty Strategy has now been wound down, and it's going to be shifted to what's called a National Energy Affordability Task Force. Energy affordability and energy poverty are two separate things. Both need to happen, but you can't replace energy affordability in place of energy poverty, because energy poverty is about the type of housing stock you're living in. It's about your socioeconomic status. Energy affordability is really critical, but that's reform of the energy system. So this government does not have a good track record on dealing with energy poverty or dealing with a just transition. Okay. So that's where I'm basing my concerns.
Why are you saying, Billy, that that's not correct?
Well, the first thing, anyway, I mean, this government and the previous government and every government has a better track record than Sinn Féin on this issue, because you've been very duplicit in this, in fairness. You've opposed measures that would incentivise and encourage the transition from where we are burning carbon fuels to where we need to get to. You have been consistently undermining that concept all the time, Lynn, being truthful. So, and you've opposed it in the Dáil as well as undermining it elsewhere. The bottom line here is, with regard to consultation, there's obligations in the regulations that were passed by the Parliament and the Council, where the government has to have broad stakeholder engagement and then a full public consultation process. The stakeholder engagement is commencing, and then there'll be broad public consultation after that, and then the plan will be submitted. But the idea that there'll be a loss of funding simply is not the case. And the government has already put in place measures around poverty-proofing for low-income families in terms of the increased cost of electricity, for example. There's retrofitting grants right across the entirety of our obligations to transition. Our housing stock, our transportation methods is being funded already. Okay. And this will be an additionality to ensure
the Climate Change Advisory Council have called for a broadening out of the retrofitting scheme. Sinn Féin has put forward a fully costed proposal on retrofitting that would bring far more people into 100% grants for retrofitting, in line with what the Climate Change Advisory Council is calling for and in line with all of the climate environmental NGOs, because most people, retrofitting is just way out of their affordability range. So there's too many people falling falling between the gaps. So to say that Sinn Féin hasn't supported climate action, we have, but what we have consistently said is that it has to be a just transition. And in fact, in the last government, the Climate Act that came before the committee had no mention. It didn't even reference just transition. It was only because of myself and other opposition members who insisted that a just transition has to be at the front and centre of any climate action.
It's the carbon tax, though, here that you don't support. You have never supported increases in carbon tax.
We don't support a carbon tax when you haven't put in place the alternatives for people, because especially now in a cost of living crisis, what you are saying to people is they have to choose between eating and heating, or they have to choose between not getting into their car and going to work, or else putting food on the table. That's not a just transition, Billy, and I'll tell you
what's an honest debate is the fact that we have, as a government, and the European Union has decided in policy to tax carbon to incentivize people to shift to other alternatives. You've consistently opposed that, and you still run around pretending that you're eco-warriors. You're far from it, and you're very duplicitous. The bottom line here is we're taxing carbon so that we will move and transition to other forms of energy production.
All right. Lynn, your response that you're running around like an eco-warrior, what do you say?
What I've said is, I've repeatedly said the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform cannot tell us how the retrofitting programme is reducing energy poverty at the same time as reducing carbon emissions, because they don't collect that data. So that, therefore, it's just a wealth transfer to people who can afford to retrofit their homes, okay, while those who are hard-pressed are going to be sitting in cold homes.
This particular scheme,
Billy Kelleher and Lynn, I have to leave it there.
I have a statement
from the Department of Climate, Energy and the Environment. I'll bring you some of it. They say that there will be a consultation process launched in the coming weeks. They say a late submission for this plan to apply for the funds will not put Ireland at risk of infringement proceedings, nor will it lessen Ireland's ability to draw down its full allocation from the EU's Social Climate Fund. The plan will be submitted to the Commission for approval in the latter part of the year. Billy Kelleher and Lynn Boylan, thank you both for joining us on the programme. Now, you might remember earlier this week we had a discussion on solar farms. Green Hills Dairies in County Cork plans to develop a solar project on part of its land. Well, they've been in touch with us to clarify that the proposed solar farm is a little over a third of the land they farm, and they remain fully operational and committed to dairy production. Coming up next, Shane Bergen tells us about the Nobel laureates meeting the next generation of young scientists.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.